You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Recently, Science and Technology Minister Shane Retty announced New Zealand's first ever artificial intelligence, or AI, strategy. With this, Aotearoa becomes the last country in the OECD to establish guidelines around the use of AI. Despite the establishment of this strategy, which is aimed at enticing the private sector to incorporate and invest in AI, there are concerns that the strategy does not introduce any new legislation to regulate AI, rather using already existing legislation, and also fails to address ethical concerns. I spoke to Dr. Colin Bjork, a senior communications lecturer at Massey University, about the strategy document and how much of an impact the strategy will have on the private sector to be better engaged with AI usage. What is the purpose of having an AI strategy?
The purpose, and a number of countries are beginning to do this now, New Zealand's actually a little bit behind on this, is to have kind of a coordinated national approach to both investing in and regulating artificial intelligence technologies and the companies that are producing and using and selling those.
You are correct in saying that New Zealand is behind on implementing these sort of guidelines. We are the last country to have implemented an AI strategy in the OECD. Why have we seen this delay?
That's a good question. I think New Zealand has been a little bit behind in regulating social media, for example, and thinking of a coordinated approach to the large, big tech companies that Europe has already kind of created an approach there. But New Zealand's been behind. So I think we've been a little bit behind, or maybe a lot behind, depending on how fast you expect governments to move, just historically in terms of ability to kind of step in and imagine how to regulate technology and find a way forward with technology in our country. So there's a historical issue to it. I think also this government is kind of against regulation full stop. So I think the current government also has kind of perspective on regulation that's led to some of those delays, I suppose.
How does our guidelines for AI use compare to other countries?
So That's a good question. I haven't explicitly read the documents from other countries' AI guidelines, but I have seen some reporting on AI guidelines in other countries. And I would say one of the things that stands out to me about ours, this New Zealand document, is that it doesn't explicitly put into play any new policies, regulations, and not really any new investments. The government sort of points to like existing policies, existing laws, and existing investments that this particular new government has already put into play. So whereas other countries are actually thinking about ways to step in and say, okay, where do we want our data centers? What are the environmental regulations we want to have around the energy usage of these AI companies and the safety issues around it? This seems to be a full-throated support for AI technology without a lot of specificity around how they want that to look for our country.
The guidelines emphasize the economical positives for the private sector in engaging with AI. Have ethical implications, such as the impact AI is having on the climate crisis and the potential for AI to take away jobs from people, have these concerns been adequately engaged with within the strategy?
That's an excellent question. So you're absolutely right that the AI policy foregrounds the economics, right? And I think it's quite interesting that the AI policy cites for evidence of the economic, you know, windfall that AI is likely to send our direction. They cite, documents from Microsoft itself. And of course, Microsoft has a vested interest in us, you know, buying into the AI hype because Microsoft is closely linked to OpenAI and Microsoft is building lots of new data centers, which will power these AI machines, right? So the economic, I think there are probably economic benefits, but we need to be very careful about who we take as the authoritative sources on how big those economic benefits are. As terms of the ethics and questions that you raised in terms of the climate risk and jobs risks, I don't think that the current AI policy sufficiently engages those topics. It sort of says, oh, we've already got existing laws on the books that regulate, you know, businesses and industries to protect the climate, and we've already got jobs, or we've already got, you know, laws on the books that protect workers. But I think that those existing laws have holes in them, right? Like we look at how a lot of these, the large AI mainstream Silicon Valley systems, these AI systems are built on the intellectual property of others, right? On creators, on artists, on writers, on authors. And yet when we have legislation about intellectual property, right, and copyright, and yet that legislation does, you know, has not been put into play with these AI companies yet, right? So there's a gap in the existing legislation that I think that needs to, that the government, if it wants to have a national policy on AI, needs to better address the existing gaps in our legislation rather than assuming that the current stuff works just fine for AI, because it doesn't.
A barrier the document discusses is regulatory uncertainty and how many businesses are uncertain on how existing laws interact with the application of AI. Does this document clarify these uncertainties enough to guarantee businesses are well-informed and comfortable to implement AI?
The short answer is no, it doesn't. What it does is the document gives its full-throated support for AI, which implies that if you build a company around AI and you're engaged in some kind of use right now, that you won't end up facing, you know, financial regulatory consequences down the road. But I think that's the implication, right? And they're saying, don't worry about it, just go for it. They're, you move fast and break things, right? That Silicon Valley mantra is sort of what the government is hinting at for the business sector. But like without an actual policy in place, for when clear agenda for like, well, we want to regulate in these ways, but not in these other ways, the companies actually can't be certain that when after the next election, whichever new government comes in, might not have a different approach, right? And if you only go on what's implied, and I think you're going to, businesses can still be cautious, right? Because an AI investment is a long-term investment for it to pay out, and you want to be certain as a business owner that it will pay out for you.
New Zealand is an adherent to the OECD AI values-based principles. One of these is human rights and democratic values, including fairness and privacy. Last week, we saw Elon Musk's Grok chatbot share anti-Semitic comments as it was relying too much on user input. If we are at the whim of overseas AI developers, how can the private sector, specifically small and medium enterprises or SMEs with smaller capacities, align with these principles?
Yeah, so that's a big and important question. And you mentioned a couple of things, right? The OECD values, human rights, democracy, privacy, and the challenge that it is to thread that needle with these overseas companies, and like Grok, which is Elon Musk's AI, which was pretty horrifically anti-Semitic. So the answer is, I think the government in this policy proposes that we don't spend a lot of time developing AI in Aotearoa, New Zealand, but instead we think about applying AI in the business sector. That's sort of what they're suggesting in this policy. And I think actually reliance on overseas AI technologies, the big Silicon Valley ones, could, you know, down the road end up becoming a tail wagging the dog situation, right? Where these massive companies and these massive billionaire owners could have an outsized, as you mentioned, our democracy, our privacy, our human rights. I think actually there is something to be said for developing Aotearoa-based AI. You won't be able to do it at scale of these Silicon Valley companies that have these massive data sets that they can use as training data to work on the AI. But we already have excellent examples in this country of homegrown AI. Tehiku Media in the Northland is a Maori-owned media company that created and that crowdsourced an AI transcription tool. So you can go from speech to text in the Maori language, right? So we have original homegrown cases that I think are worth investing in that can help us achieve those goals of the values that are important to us, to our democracy, to indigenous data sovereignty, and help us keep at quite a distance the dangers of the things that we saw in Grok this past week.
You've briefly touched on this throughout our chat, but overall, is this strategy enough to entice the private sector to adopt AI or even invest in it in Aotearoa?
No, I don't think it is. It needs to be, we need more clarity from the government on how specifically to invest, how to invest wisely, safely, and that'll be, we have different answers in different sectors, right? It'll be different in medicine than it will be in construction, right? And we need clarity around, we need regulation. We absolutely need it, and we need to figure out what that looks like. And that needs to be the urgent kind of direction, in my perspective, for our country.
I also spoke to AI and Technology Governor Dr. Karai Tiana Tairu about how Te Ao Māori is engaged with in this strategy and whether more needs to be done in this capacity. How does the strategy cooperate with iwi Māori?
Yes, so it doesn't directly reference or appeal to iwi Māori, but it is written on the premises of using the OECD principle. So amongst those international principles are an obligation to consider human rights and to consult with all of the community. So indirectly, we will have representation and acknowledgement through the international, those international principles. It's not ideal. It's very indirect, as I said, but at least it's kind of, we've got a little pathway there. The other thing to point out too is, the AI strategy is very high level and doesn't really say much. And it has been widely criticised for not actually doing too much. So again, I think because of that high level attitude that's been taken, I think iwi and Māori will have to rely heavily on the OECD principles.
Is Te Tiriti o Waitangi referenced in this strategy at all?
No, not directly, no. It's only referenced in the guidance from government to small businesses.
Stats New Zealand have an agreement called the Mana Oriti Relationship Agreement with the Data Iwi Leaders Group of the National Iwi Chairs Forum to ensure data collection will create positive outcomes for iwi Māori. Are we seeing something similar with the government strategy for using AI in the country?
No. What we've seen is the government have provided a very high-level strategy and basically said that we don't want to regulate. It's up to communities to do that themselves. So that is a bit of an issue. But research from the AI Forum, Aotearoa's AI Forum, show that over 50% of companies in New Zealand voluntarily choose to engage some form of digitality process with their AI. So to me, that's encouraging. And if the government paying for commercial services from those companies, then we'll see some sort of reflection of digitality and Te Ao Māori that way.
You have mentioned some of the criticisms, or people have criticised the strategy document. The strategy document has ruled out new legislation, rather going about AI usage with a light touch and principle-based approach for already existing regulations. Should we be seeing clear legislation here?
Ideally, we will see more regulation / legislation. There's the whole human rights aspect has been left out. Workers' rights is a classic example. We know AI will disrupt many current jobs in New Zealand. The strategy doesn't provide any sort of protection for them. There's all the other communities who are going to be impacted without clear guidelines. This includes the disabled communities, Pacifica, immigrants, LGBTQ plus communities, all currently vulnerable without some form of regulation or legislation.
If most AI systems are designed overseas, maybe even with a Western worldview, how can tikanga be actively engaged regarding its usage here in Aotearoa?
So that's, that's up to New Zealanders to embrace and adopt local tikanga. And I'd like to think that we would also, good companies that we should be investing our money with, will be promoting those values. They'll be promoting the Human Rights Act, the Bill of Rights Act, and genuinely respecting and protecting our diverse communities here in New Zealand. If we don't, we will just end up being, what will continue to be consumers of American tech culture, which is very much about commercialization and ignoring human rights of minorities.
You've touched on this previously, but what sort of regulations would you like to see heading forward that are in the best interest of iwi Māori and other marginalized communities?
So I think copyright laws need to be addressed, bullying and harassment. So the Digital Harmful Communications Act needs a major rewrite because, as we know, already with technologies, minorities in particular, Indigenous females and people with disabilities are high on the target list of being bullied, so changing regulation there. The Crimes Act needs to be reviewed, intellectual property rights. There's a whole range of legislation. And I think the best way to address this would be having all New Zealand's legislation reviewed for impacts, possible impacts with AI and how best to address it.
That was Massey University's Dr. Colin Bjork and AI and Technology Governor Dr. Karai Tiana Tairu about the government's recently released AI strategy.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.